You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time, a Wave Sports and Entertainment original presented by Prize Picks. My name is Bobani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Subscribe, like, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week where we have a guest join us, one of my all-time favorites. You can check him out at the Athletic Hall of Famer himself, David Aldridge. What's going on, man?
Bo, it always makes my day when somebody says, Bo, Monty wants to spend an hour with you, because that's an hour well spent, my brother.
Dude, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. And you're giving me an hour right before something very important. You are a Washingtonian. You've been a Washingtonian for a long time.
Yes.
You've been rooting for those bums for about as long as I can remember. And it looked like y'all might finally get this quarterback situation taken care of.
I think they're going to actually do this the right way this time, I think. You never know until you hear, but they keep it all close to the vest, Bo. This group does not talk. They do not talk. Adam Peters does not talk. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, they keep it in house, you know, which is cool. Like, I covered John Thompson. John Thompson didn't play favorites with anybody. And that's what I like. Like, I don't care if you don't talk to me, just don't talk to my competition. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so Adam is like that. He just keeps it all in-house. This is a new group. But I think just understanding how they kind of approach this rebuild with this franchise, this isn't a group that I think is going to be comfortable just waiting a couple of years on the quarterback. I don't see that. I don't think they're going to be like, yeah, we can just get by until 2026. We got 3 or 4 years. Even though they probably do, because it's just been so bad here, anything other than what they've had before would be welcome. But I think this group is more inclined to want to hit the ground running. They know that it's going to take them a while to build the roster up, but I don't think that they're going to like muddle through at quarterback for a year or two, waiting on a young guy to get better. So my inclination is that they're going to take Jaden Daniels, I think. So we'll see. I could be wrong.
I tell you this, though, I feel like I've definitely gotten older because the reports were getting out that Jaden Daniels did not want to play for Washington. And you know me, I'm a player's guy. He certainly has the right to not want to play for them, and he can do whatever he wants to try not to play for them. But if I were Washington and I heard that he didn't want to play for us, all I would do is laugh and take his black ass anyway. I don't know if he realizes that's the end result, but you're coming with us, buddy.
This is why there isn't an NBA team in Vancouver.
Yo, that is, you know,
Steve Francis go, no, I'm not. I'll go play in Europe. You know what I would have said? Bon voyage.
Yo, I realize this.
For us,
we're now at a point now where I want to say that happened 25 years ago. It was 99 when that happened. And I think there are people now who do not remember. They may not remember that there was ever a team in Vancouver, right? But the Memphis Grizzlies were once the Vancouver Grizzlies, and they drafted Steve Francis, and the camera went on Steve Francis at the draft, and it was abundantly clear that that young man had no interest in going to play in no Canada. And he basically forced his way out and wound up getting traded to Houston. But you and I both know this. You covered the league, and I just know a little bit about the world. We both know a few things about Steve Francis. He would have loved Vancouver. Loved Vancouver.
Adonde and I, every time the playoffs start, we call each other and lament the fact that we no longer can go to Vancouver and Seattle for playoff games. The greatest boondoggles in history.
like people love Vancouver. Steve Francis just had never been nowhere in his life and just didn't know what the score was or what the deal was, right? Like, they would have had Toronto and Vancouver.
Right. you'd be Vince Carter. There'd be two great players in the history of Canadian professional basketball. It's Vince Carter and Steve Francis. Like, it would have been like that. You know, like, it would have been like that old Simpsons episode, stay off the west side. So Steve tells Vince, don't come west. Vince tells Steve, don't come past Manitoba or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, but y'all could run, you could run this, divide it up into two and be the guy. But he didn't see it that way. And that's why we're not in Vancouver anymore.
You get to take a connecting flight to Memphis.
That's why we... So I think the Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels because at the end of the day, there's only one NFL and he's not going to go play football anywhere else in the world, is he?
He's coming.
See, he'll be all right.
Yeah, he just like crossing his fingers and hoping somebody trades up. But you can't afford to do that if you're Washington. Like, this is just to me. The quarterback that you can get in the middle of the first round is a quarterback that a lot of people didn't want. And you know, maybe you the only one that see it, right? Maybe you the genius, but no.
Yeah, exactly. I just can't see. When you are so bad that you get the second pick, think about this. You were so bad as a football team that you got the second pick in the draft in a year where there's a number of really promising quarterback prospects that you could take. Like, you have to get that right. Like, I wrote this, Bo, late in the season. They were fifth in the draft, I think. They were lying at five, and I was like, well, at five, you know, you could take a tackle. Like, you could, right? You know, I wouldn't mind if you took a tackle because you need one of those two. But once you get up to two, you got to take a quarterback, man. I mean, come on. you got to. There's no – you can't be taking – there's no disrespect, but you can't be taking Joe Alt at two. Like, you just can't, right? So, you got to take the quarterback. So, like – you know, so I think they will take the best one. I think the guy that's more ready to play tonight, if he had a game, is Jaden Daniels.
All right. Now, I want to switch to the NBA playoffs in full swing. You've been covering the playoffs a bit, but I want to start with the games we had last night. We had Phoenix and we had Minnesota. And Frank Vogel, when he get back to that office, he can go ahead and pack that thing up. He's done in that town. I don't care if this series goes to seven. He's done because they're done. he's done because they're done, and he's the thing that they're going to have to fix. But I'm curious what you think, because even though they don't have depth, right, like the Suns have a depth issue, but they should not be getting run out of the building by Minnesota, because I mean, that team is dumb. That team plays like dummies, and they ran Phoenix out the building twice.
It's crazy because Phoenix was so good against them in the regular season, but it just goes to show you it's two totally different year, you know, the two totally different seasons, right? So yeah, that, you know, the size, the wolf size is just really, really bugging Phoenix. Like, they really don't seem to know what to do with McDaniels. They don't have an answer. They don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? They don't know what to put on him. You know, so it's just a bad matchup. The size, I saw every one of Bradley Beal's games for 11 years. So this is not a shot at Bradley Beal, but Bradley ain't a point guard. And y'all saying he's a point guard doesn't mean he is a point guard. You know what I mean? Like, he just, that's not what he's wired to do. Like, and so the inability for them to kind of not be stagnant for four or five possessions in a row because they don't have a guy that can create something for somebody else is really telling. They got shooters, they got scorers, but you still need creators, and they just aren't creating at nearly an efficient enough clip to be competitive so far in this series.
Well, let me ask you this, as somebody who knows Brad Beal's game better than I do, even if we're talking about him as a two guard, like, how actually good is he, right? Like, we've seen how good he could be as a number two player. We've seen how good he could be as the number one player on a bad team, and he's a really good shooter. But like, as player slash contributor to winning, what are we really dealing with here?
I would say, I've said this many times, like, you can't, like, you're not hating on Bradley Beal to say he's not one of the top two or three two guards in the league. Like, that's pretty elite territory, you know what I mean? Like he's not as good as Anthony Edwards. Like, Anthony Edwards is more talented than he is, you know? That doesn't mean he's a bad player. Somebody pointed this out the other night, but Jamal Murray has never, you know, been first or second team all NBA, he's a hell of a player. You know what I'm saying?
There's lots or an of all-star in this
league. Yeah, right. Not even an all-star, right. You know, and that doesn't mean he's not really good. He's really good. But it just tells you there's a lot of depth at the guard position in the NBA. It's hard to be one of the best six guards in the NBA. Hard. And so Brad is in that same category to me with Jamal Murray. Like, he's really good. If Brad was playing off of Jokic, he'd be looking like Jamal Murray right now, you know, but he's not. So I think he's a very good two guard. I think he is better when the ball's not in his hands than when it's in his hands, because Brad's worked really hard on his handles. But it's still not, I still think it's something he works at as opposed to being actually good at it. You know what I mean? Like, and so, you know, against real length and against guys that know what they're doing. So, you know, running him off of pin downs, he's great moving without the ball. He'll go back door. He can play that position and be really hella efficient. Like mid-range, good. When he's on one, shooting from deep, really good. You know, like, and he can get to the cup and he can finish through contact. But I think he has to play his position. The problem is Devin Booker's playing his position right now. And Devin Booker's better at it than he is. You know what I'm saying? So that would get back to that same problem. Like, Brad's kind of playing out of position. And it's not his fault. You know, I mean, he did say he wanted to be traded there, but they didn't have to do it. They did, you know. And then they said, well, you could be our de facto point guard. And I'm like, he ain't a point guard, y'all. Like, it's not what he does. Like, you wouldn't ask. I was gonna say you wouldn't ask Jokic to, but Jokic is the point guard on the team. Like, you know what I mean? But most big men can't do that. So you're asking a guy who's really good at one thing to do something else. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
They owe Bradley Beal after this season, in a span of 3 years, $160 million.
They do.
Just want to throw that out there. 160 billion. Ted Leontis stuck the bill for that boy in his pocket when he sent him out of town. Like, here you go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not even, like I said this many times, because people who like Brad think I hate on Brad. I would have signed it 27 times if I was Brad. Give me all that money. You know what I'm saying? And he, you know, somebody said, we think you are a max player in this league. All right. You know, like, and that's on them. And Washington, they will never cop to this, but they were very relieved when that deal got done. Not because Brad's a bad dude. He's a great dude. He's a leader. He's civically minded in a real way. Bo, he is literally like taken entire classes at this prep school in DC, Ron Brown Prep, and mentored them for years, you know, and put some of them through college. You know, like, he's like, he walks the walk on this. Like, he means this stuff. He led the protests, you know, after George Floyd. He and Natasha Cloud led the Washington Monumental Sports entire organization marching through the streets of D.C. on Juneteenth. Like, he gets it. Like, he's a great guy, you know, so this is not a criticism of him as a person. I just think he's overpaid as a basketball player. That's all, you know, and it makes it difficult to build a championship team around him.
He was worth that 50 to Washington just because his mere presence at least stopped it from being a clown show. Because good gracious, that was a clown show. Like, we've seen this be a clown show before, but this, like, maybe this is not the level of clown show that it was from like 09 to 12, where I was afraid that John Wall was just going to quit playing basketball. But this right here, this with your championship veterans are that one dude and the other dude. It's Poole and Kuzma. They supposed to be the ones that's been there before.
Right. Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not good, Bo. Now, they were marginally better, but that's like, you know, having one more deck chair on the Titanic. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Okay, I guess we are. You know, like, they got so far to go to even be decent, much less a contender. I mean, it's going to take a minute. And I'll give, you know, like, here's the thing. Like, Poole ain't a bad dude. It's just that he wants to be he sees himself at one way and he's not, you know what I mean? Like, and doesn't mean, like, it's not a criticism of him. Like, you have to be somewhat delusional to play in the NBA. You have to think every night, I am the best player in the league to make the NBA. You have to think that. Everybody has to think that. And most of them do. And Jordan, I think, believes that. He works really hard at it, but you know, the decisions that are made aren't the decisions a rebuilding team needs on the floor. That's that's what I would say. Now they did, so they need to surround him with better talent, but he needs to be a better basketball player too.
There was no individual outcome more predictable than Jordan Poole showing up to play for the Washington Wizards and playing just like a Washington Wizard. Like that was like when he got there, I was like, oh no. All we need from him is to dribble the wrong way down the floor.
Well, I will say this. He was better the second half of the season. The first half was just, I don't even know how to describe how bad it was. Like it was comically bad. Even for this franchise, it was comically bad. They were at least competitive the second half of the season. I mean, you got to start somewhere, right, with this group. And they put him on the ball. And he's a lot like Brad in the sense that, you know, you're not going to be able to do anything about his contract right now. You can't trade him. Nobody's going to take it. So you make the best of it with what he can do. So they finally put him in the starting lineup, put him on the ball, and it was a little better the last 25 games or so. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what they do in the offseason, but they got a long way to go. Long way.
All right. Now, I want to ask you about the series you were covering a little bit, the Knicks and the Sixers. And you've been covering this league. You covered this league back when the Knicks were pretty regularly good and the Garden was pretty regularly jumping. From television, game two looked like a Madison Square Garden that there's an entire generation that has never seen before.
Yeah, I'm so glad. That's why I'm glad the Knicks are good again, because, you know, people, millennials and people under, you know, 35, you know, I want them to see what the Garden is like when it's really rocking. And it was really rocking the other night. It was fun to watch. It was fun to be in there. There's nothing more delusional than a Knicks fan. it's wonderful to see them just living every emotion on their heart sleeve, on their sleeve as the game goes on. It's crazy. But that last minute of that game, that was crazy. That was crazy even for me. Like, I've seen a lot over the years, and that was a crazy ending. I can't believe, like, the mistakes that Philly had to make in sequence to lose that game. Wow. Remarkable. It's remarkable that they made that many mistakes in a row, you know, and yes, got some bad calls. Yes, there was a foul. Yes, he got fouled. Shocker, they didn't call it. you gotta play through bad officiating if you're gonna win a playoff series, you know. And so they got a bad call, but you know, you still gotta get the ball in bounds. Nobody cares. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, and they didn't get the ball in bounds. And that's job one.
All right. I want to say this about the Knicks. I really enjoy living here and seeing Knicks fans be happy, because it became very clear to me after I moved here that, oh, my gosh, they just really want them to be good. Like, they would just beg for me on the street just to tell them anything halfway nice. Like, it was really plaintive and delicate and almost kind of sweet. Right. Like, they just wanted to hear some cause for optimism. And I realized that in New York, they're far less obnoxious. They're like New Yorkers in every other context. The ones that are here are so much cooler than the ones that leave, right? Like, the ones that y'all don't send us y'all's best representatives. Y'all keep all the good, and then y'all send us like the rind. You know what I'm saying? Y'all send us the peels off in the rest of these places. But the cold water is, and this is to me, it's going to be to me, and I'm curious what you think about this, the blessing and curse of the way this is set up, is that Jalen Brunson has turned into local legend, right? Like, he's got it, and this city loves him for all those reasons. But I just don't know how much winning you're supposed to be doing with your 5'10", 5'11" guard shooting 25, 30 shots a night. And that's what's been going on this series. He has not played well. And even with a one-legged Embiid, the Sixers have been close. And I don't know, what do you do? Because it's not like you trade Jalen Brunson to somebody else, right? It's kind of like Isaiah Thomas was for the Celtics, although he's bigger than him.
Right. You know, and that's why, you know, there's still all that smoke about Donovan Mitchell coming or them needing to add one more piece. And I think they do. I mean, because you can see it. Like, Philly's game plan is, Jalen, we're not going to let you score. Not the way you've scored in the regular season, right? Like, we're going to use length against you. We're going to use multiple people against you. We're going to double team you. The referees aren't going to call as many touch fouls as they call in the regular season. You're not going to shoot 9 free throws a game. And then if you do get into the paint, you got to finish over and beat. You know what I'm saying? So, like, and the trade-off is, Josh Hart, you got to beat us. And in the first two games, Josh Hart's beating them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Josh Hart shoots 31% on threes for the season. He's made 8 threes in 2 games. If he makes 4 threes a game, guess what? New York's going to win the series. Point blank. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that you can do about it. That's the gamble. That's what you have to do in the playoffs. You have to make somebody not as good as their best player beat you. And so far, Josh Hart has beaten them, you know, but it points to, as great as Jalen Brunson has been, you can take Jalen Brunson out of games if you're determined to do so, you know, and you have the capability and the size and the length to do so. And Philly has enough size and length to really make it hard on him. Oubre's picking him up full court a lot, you know, and making him really work to get open. And he's committing a lot of fouls, but the Philly doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like, now, Maxey's not a great defender, but Maxey's quick. So the things that Jalen does to kind of get to his spots, Maxey can be there for him and at least contest a shot. Now, Jalen's a great player. He's going to play better as the series goes on because he's going to figure it out, how they're doubling him, how they're covering him, and he'll counter it. But, yeah, they haven't won this. They haven't won these first two games because Jalen Brunson's been that dude. They haven't. They've won it because Josh Hart's made 8 threes. You know, and the question is that sustainable?
And don't forget about my guy, Dub D, White Dante. White Dante out there hitting big shots, man. This is what I've been telling people about for years, that it was coming.
Yeah. No, he's a good player, man. He's a good player. The confidence to take another three after you just missed one instead of passing the ball to the all-star, right? And let's be honest, yes, a lot of guys would have done that. Where's our all-star, you know, in that situation? No, he stepped right into it, you know, and shot it like a guy that played on a big stage in college and balled out and helped his team win a natty, you know? So that's what you want. You want guys like that on the floor in that situation.
Hey, I feel like the homie White Dante is kind of living in a bizarro world, right? So we've talked about on this show a few times with Isaiah Hartenstein, but for the longest, I couldn't tell if he was an Isaiah or a Hartenstein. And we came to find out he was actually both. But I've been in that building before, and they be hoping that he makes shots like he a Hartenstein. You know what I'm saying? The homie White Dante, for whatever reason, he doesn't get the artificial boost, right? He don't get like the Austin Reeves, and Austin Reeves is a good player, but you've seen what we talk about here. For whatever reason, maybe White Dante haircut too good, whatever it is, but they're not giving him what the whites normally get in that situation. They just be treating him like he a dude in the NBA.
Mikey Dante from the neighborhood, right?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. They just treat him like he any old other basketball player.
Just another Dante.
Right. They're not surprised when he plays defense. They don't get shocked when he goes and dunks on somebody. Like, he done leaned in a little bit too hard. He done got too good at this. He need to go get him a whack-ass haircut like Austin Reeves. Then he can start getting some of these endorsement deals.
Right. Right, Dante be like, where's my AT&T commercial?
Right, he's like, it is so funny. Chet get to do it like that. It ain't nobody leading into it like Chet.
In 5 minutes, you know what I'm saying? And Dante like, you know, I'm in New York. What?
Right. I too was Final Four most outstanding player. You know what I'm saying? He didn't even get the superstar turn off of that. The only person that noticed him after that was me.
Right. It is interesting. That's an interesting thing. You're right. Cause Hartenstein gets that push. I'll put it that way.
They'd be like that. I tell people, because I don't go to games. I don't get a credential if I'm not going to work, and they don't necessarily reply to me when I try to get a credential. So I've just kind of given up on that little shop that they got over there, and I'm not paying those prices to go see games. But Roy Wood had got some tickets. We went to watch a game once. It was an October game against the Hornets. LaMelo Ball wasn't playing, and I've never seen people on pins and needles like a Madison Square Garden crowd. They love that team. There's no way to explain to people who aren't here. They love that team.
They do. It's different. And we were talking the other day about, I don't think people realize they ain't won a chip in 50 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yes!
50 Yo, years!
I have talked about
the
this.
The Wizards
it is
have
ridiculous.
Won a chip more recently than the Knicks.
It is so ridiculous that they have not retired Charles Oakley's jersey, that they have not retired John Starks' jersey. It's because they have a standard for themselves as a franchise that is simply not in line with the truth. Like, they're not the Lakers, right? Where the Lakers is like, yo, unless you a Hall of Famer, we not retiring your shit. They don't have that, but they do that. right? And people love those guys. They love those dudes. This any other team would have, like, the Grizzlies are going to retire Tony Allen's jersey, for example, right? If they haven't done it already, they're going to retire Tony Allen's jersey. The Knicks ain't no different, really, than the Grizzlies for the last 50 years. They not.
No. I mean, other than they made a couple finals, but they didn't win them.
Yes.
So, you know, like, until they win one, that's why they still revere Clyde and Bill Bradley and, you know, Dick Barnett and Willis Reed, because they're the last ones that won something around here, you know? So,
yes.
I totally get that, you know? So,
yes.
You're right. And it's a standard. And they do hang on it. I don't see, I'm not in New York. I think the Rangers have a similar type of following, you know, but there ain't no question that the Knicks have the city lives and dies with the Knicks. They do. They live and die with them Knicks. It's crazy. Especially if they have a glimmer of hope like they do now. They got a glimmer that maybe if things break right. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got that gleam.
Just the glimmer.
Like Marty Schottenheimer said, there's a gleam, man.
So before we get to the break, I do want to ask you this. And I talked a little bit about it in our last show, the kind of trick bag that Joel Embiid is in. Because he's basically, it's as much as he can tolerate the pain, which is a terribly unfair position to put somebody in. But I do feel like with the points that he's putting up and him clearly being on one leg, he is low-key giving us a warrior performance. Like, if they were to win this, this is the kind of thing that you talk about all the time. But instead, I watch it. And, like, you watch it and he looks so bad, but he's still affecting games. Like, I went once when they played the Nets in the playoffs where he was sick and he could barely move and he's in terrible shape and he's still a vortex that really, really has a significant effect on games. Like, is that what you're picking up on in the arena also?
It's unbelievable how he plays when he doesn't do the thing that he's best at. You know what I mean? Like he's best, his physicality is his best trait. He's just so big and strong, right? But now he can't explode and he can't get positioned deep like he normally does using his quickness, as he can't move. So the dude is basically playing foul line out to the 3-point line. He's not coming in the paint. And he still scored 34. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's incredible how this guy on one leg is giving him 34 and 10. You know, it's crazy how good he is, you know, and that's why if I don't, you know, it's going to be hard for him now that it's 2-0. It's going to be hard for him to win 4 or 5 against the Knicks. Knicks are pretty good. But if they were to somehow turn this thing around and win this series, this would be an all-timer for me, because this guy is, I mean, he should not be playing, Bo. He's at like 70%, maybe. You know, he shouldn't be playing. He can't move out there. You know, he can't go get rebounds and he's still got 10 rebounds. You know, like, it's crazy how good he is. And I want for him to have 1 year where he's healthy in the playoffs. Just one. Just to see what he could do.
It feels like this is the one they're going to look back on and be like, damn, because he has not been good enough in the playoffs. His game takes a clear step back in the playoffs, and now he's out here on one leg doing the damn thing. And that makes you think if he is not hurt this year, there's a good chance they're the best team in the East. And instead, it looked like they're probably going to be at the crib in 5.
For sure, I think. They were the 2 seed when he got hurt. You know what I mean? They were. And so I have no reason to believe they wouldn't have been the 2 seed and held on to that. But, you know, that's part of the That's part of his bio, unfortunately for him, you know.
All right. That's David Aldridge. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about these NBA playoffs right here on The Right Time. The NBA playoffs have officially begun, and it's the best time to get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with playoff basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And if you stick around for the end of the show, you'll hear picks from our producer, Sean, that could potentially help you win big. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. So make sure you go to prizepicks.com/Bomani and use code Bomani for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/Bomani. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Spring is here, which means there's more daylight and sunshine in our lives. Shout out to our friends at Shady Rays, who have you covered with premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. Shady Rays offers a world-class product, rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Their shades have durable frames and crystal clear optics, making them the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. They have plenty of styles and colors to pick from, so finding your next pair of shades is a breeze. Plus, if your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love your shades, exchange or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code BOMANI for 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, we're back on the right time. We are here with David Aldridge, and I'm going to be honest with you. The Clippers and the Mavericks played on Tuesday night, and halfway through the second quarter, I saw the writing on the wall, and I turned off that television, and I took my ass to sleep. I knew I was not getting there. I woke up, and I saw that the Mavericks had won that game, which is interesting because Kawhi Leonard came back to play, which I did not think was going to happen. Like, I felt like if they were already at the point where they were worried about fluid in his knees, I thought he would sit for longer than that. But were you surprised that game turned out as close given how badly the Clippers beat them in game one?
No, because Dallas's defense has been really good the second, you know, especially since the trades. Like, their defense has been really, really good, you know, and so you just go, well, wait a minute, they're better than that. They're better than game one. You know, they can play better than that. And so, no, I wasn't surprised because I think defense travels, defense carries over. If you're a good defensive team in the regular season, you're going to be a good defensive team in the playoffs. If you're a good defensive team on the road, you should be a good defensive team at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, it translates. And so I knew they were better, and they were a lot better defensively, I thought, last night. And Luka, you know, Luka got on one, and as he can do. I mean, he's that good. So, but PJ Washington, I thought, was huge for them making some shots. They just need somebody else to make shots. Most of the time it's Kyrie, and last night it was PJ. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's just need one other guy to make shots. That's how heliocentric effective Luka is. He's just so damn good. He just needs somebody to knock down a couple of threes, and they got that last night, and that makes a big difference for them.
So I feel like that whoever wins that series is going to play against the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. If I get my math right, that is the 4-5 series.
That's and the so 4-5, they'll get out so of they here. Will play him the second yeah. round, though. They play him second
round. Oh, that's round. Yeah, that's right. And that's for the West.
And that'd be a hell of a second round series, no matter who wins that Dallas Clippers series. That's going to be a great second round
yeah.
series. Sorry, Lakers no, fans. I don't think you're going to beat the Nuggets 4 out of the next 5 games. I'm sorry. I don't think that's happening.
No, hold on. No, we got them. They're in the 4-5. So they'll get the Oklahoma City, New Orleans.
Oh, right. Oklahoma if they City's get one. That. What am I saying? And see, You're right.
Oklahoma City's the one. And so the thing with Oklahoma City, and I guess they got the game tonight.
Brain. You're right.
Because they're going to win the West, right? You got Denver as the number one because they are the number one.
They're always the top seed in my head. You know, like, you're right. OKC's the top seed. I'm sorry, Thunder fans. That's on me. Yeah. That's my bad.
But I still think that whoever wins that series there, it's them. It's that winner of that series against the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. Like, I feel like we can basically write that down at this point. Oklahoma City just too light in the keister. And I'm sorry, man. I watch Minnesota and they just be doing things that don't really add up. Like Carl Towns picked up the 3 fouls in the first quarter and all of them were dumb. And then at the end of the third quarter, he got another super stupid foul. Rudy Gobert trying to run the break by himself. Like, no wonder Anthony Edwards be out here like, damn, I'm not supposed to have to be in charge yet, but I am.
Well, think about poor Mike Conley. Mike Conley is like, yo, guys, come on. Come on, man. This is some basic stuff here. We'd be all right. Just, you know, like, Minnesota is, they do not play well in terms of understanding time, score, those sorts of things. Like, to your point, I got 3 fouls. It's the third quarter. I can't get a fourth. Like, I really can't get a fourth foul. Like, it just, don't do it. You know, like, and so, I don't know. But they are hella talented. They're hella long. They defend really well. Rudy's playing really good. Ant's playing great. You know, so I'm not going to write them off, but I understand what you're saying in terms of as the playoffs get deeper, mistakes cost you more as the playoffs get deeper because your margin for error is so much smaller as you play against better teams, right? So if you mess up, whether it's physical or mental, if you mess up against a great team, they're going to destroy you. They're going to make you pay. And so Minnesota's got to figure that out. They got to straighten it out for the next round because it gets harder. It gets harder. And the teams that are going to be left.
Yeah, they're going to see. Tell me this. How frustrated do you think it had to be for the Lakers that they got a good game out of LeBron, a close to great game out of Anthony Davis, at least for most of it. He didn't score too much in the fourth quarter, but he still was 14 for 19 with 32. And they got a D'Angelo Russell game where he showed up and it just didn't matter. It didn't matter.
Well, we talked about it at the beginning. Like, it's just crazy how good Denver is that they could be down 20 in the second half of a playoff game and just be like, all right, I guess we got to start playing now. just reel them in. You know what I'm saying? Just reel them in. Just unbelievable. Yeah, they're so good. That guy, I think a lot of people understand, but maybe I still don't think everybody understands, Bo, how good Jokic is. Like, how great Jokic is. He's great. Like, it's unbelievable how good he is. I was on this podcast the other day. I said, y'all understand something. Bam Adebayo is a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year on merit this year. On merit. Like, he's great defensively. He guards everybody at an elite level. And Jokic destroyed him in the finals last year. Destroyed him.
Did you see what he did to Anthony Davis? What he did to Anthony Davis at the end, which was just basically, now I'm just going to have to bang into your chest over and over again. Like, the tweet I sent was like, anybody who's ever been up 3 buckets on your pops, you know what this is. That man done fucking around, and now he's just going to go straight to getting buckets. Like, he was out here trying to do stuff that he enjoyed, right? Like, varieties of spice of life. Now, no. And Anthony Davis, for everything we say about him, he's standing there. He's taking those blows. And that dude just keeps knocking him farther back. Knocking him farther back. And then just like this, standing just like I did right there. Just, oop, boop.
Not, hadn't touch, jumped brother. Off the Soft floor touch. Yet. And just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And if you try to double him, he just slices you up like a salami. It's just like, it's unbelievable. This guy's great, man.
Well, let me ask you this. How long did it take for you to come around? Like, how long did it take for you to fully lean into it? Because I remember it may have been 2019, 2020, somewhere in there where my point was about him. Yeah, he's really good, but let's slow down before we say he's Joel Embiid. And now he's just like, he's so far past all of that. Like, even when I was like, no, he should be the MVP, I was like, but he's not the best player in the league. Yes, he is. Yes, he is the best player in the league.
It was, for me, it was the second MVP year. And I don't remember which year that was for him. Not the first year, but the second year.
That was 22.
So I was like, okay, like, he's really good. But, you know, it was a but. I'm not gonna front. There was a but with that. But after 22, I was like, oh no. I get it now. I see it.
That's when he was out there by himself.
Yeah. Now it's like, okay, he's got all the smoke of being MVP, so he gets everybody's best game. You know what I mean? Like, he don't get no nights off. Everybody trying to take him out, you know? And so, and he's still clowning dudes out there. You know, like, just clowning dudes. Like, easy 40 and 20. Like, do you know how hard it is to get 40 and 20? Like, he just... effortlessly and leading the break too and diving people up. Like, what?
I thought he was having a bad game too for much of it, and it ended with 27-20-10.
Just like nothing. Like nothing. Like, well, what do we need? What do we need? What do you need me to do to win this game now? Do I need to score? All right. You need me a rebound? All right, I rebound. You need me to lead a break? All right, I lead a break. So whatever is necessary for victory, he can do it and does it, you know? So that it's, he's unbelievable. Ain't no shame in losing to this dude. None. He's that good.
Now,
I wrote after the
you and I have,
that he's Tim Duncan, except he's better than Tim Duncan.
Yo, so that's such an interesting comparison to me because Tim Duncan is probably the best post-Hakeem Olajuwon defensive player that the NBA has had, right? And you can go look at the Spurs team defense statistics all those years. He's probably that guy. But the finals MVPs notwithstanding or anything else, Tim Duncan was a little yippy, right? Like, if you needed Tim Duncan to carry you to win, there are games like that time that Karl Malone elbowed David Robinson and rookie Tim Duncan gave him 38. Like, I'm not going to act like he never showed up. But if you remember the game with that Derek Fisher shot, before the Derek Fisher shot in 04, Lakers-Spurs, game five in the second round, Tim Duncan's booty was so tight when he shot that crazy turnaround over Shaq, because Shaq's line after that game was one lucky shot deserves another, because Tim Duncan put up a really yippy shot. Jokic does not seem to have any of those yips. He doesn't seem to have it at all. Like, okay, brother, just give me the ball and we'll make it happen.
He does not. He does not. He just is so, the efficiency is just insane. Like, I say this all the time, Bo. I saw Michael Jordan have lots of games where he shot 7-21. Lots of them, you know, but he impacted the game in other ways that night. He just didn't score that night. Have you seen like a big game where Jokic is 9-25? I mean, I'm sure there have been a couple, but like, but for the most part, this dude is always 10-14, you know, 15-22, you know, like he doesn't force shots and he makes everything. Like, he makes contested shots. It's not like Adebayo didn't guard him in the finals last year. He guarded him, and he still went through his chest. like Jesus Christ.
Well, he's mastered something that's interesting, because the thing I used to always say about Kobe was Kobe's game, it felt like Kobe would make a decision what shot he was going to take, whether you were still there or not. Like, he just did, okay, you're directly in my face and you're going like this. Oh, well, I'm still going to shoot it. I had already made that decision. Maybe he makes it, maybe he misses it. Jokic is the same way, except for the fact that I guess it just doesn't matter if you're standing right there. If I'm going to cock the ball all the way back here and leave it from here, and I just need to get it this far over your fingers. That's it. That's all I need to do, right? You're standing right in front of me. I can't even see, bro, and I'm still going to make this.
It's unbelievable, and he doesn't jump. I mean, he can't jump. It's not like he's – I mean, I know he's 7 feet tall, and his line of sight is different from everybody, most people's in the league, but still – big guys are guarding you. You know, there's guys 6'10 guarding you. Anthony Davis is 6'10, 6'11. Like, he's not that much shorter than Jokic. So he's in his line of vision. And it doesn't matter.
Hey, man, NBA needs to start going over there to Serbia. My man Seb works on the show, talks about that. He said, you go over to the Serbian League, it's a bunch of dudes with this type of game. And I watched some clips online of Jokic when he was in Serbia. Man, it's a bunch of these 23-year-old old men throwing these backdoor passes and all of this stuff, man. Like, I really think Jokic should make America reevaluate and just ask, are we worried a little bit too much about the wrong things? Because the only reason this dude goes in the second round is because he can't jump, right? But he was drafted in 2014. In 2016, Serbia was finished with the silver medal at the Olympics, and they only lost by 3 points, and he was their best player. It was there for us to see. We just thought he couldn't jump.
Well, it's a lot like, yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But I'll say this. He was not in great shape. right? Like he was heavy, you know, like, and so you look at him and the, one of the things that tends to be true about whether it's athletes or human beings is if you're heavy at one point in your life, you tend to stay heavy. Like you have to work really hard to not get heavy again, right? Like if you work, you have to fight it. It's a lifetime of struggle. And so I could see why teams would be like, he's talented, but this dude, like over 82 games, like how many games is he not going to be able to run up and down the floor? And to his credit, this dude got in shape. He got in shape. Like now he's like, oh shit, I can do this. Oh, now that I'm in shape, like, oh, hell yeah. Oh, it's all, you know, and so it's crazy, Bo, because I remember vividly there were people, lots of people in this league, when they had to decide, we're going to keep Jokic or we're going to keep Nurkic. There's a lot of people that said, we should keep Nurkic because I think he better play than Jokic. You know what I'm saying? There were a lot of people that thought that. And so it's crazy that this dude has become what he's become, but he has become it. Like to not acknowledge that is beyond stupid to me. Like you can't, whatever your peccadilloes are about human beings, if you don't think Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league, there's something wrong with you, bro.
Look, all I got to say is this. My buddy Nick Wright came around, which means that everybody need to be here by now. Like, Nick is one of us now. It took him a long time to get there, but, it, you know, he keeps handing his favorite team their ass over and over again, and he's just like, oh, okay, this is undeniable. Now, something that should be undeniable, but I still keep finding a way to deny, and I'm wondering if you denying them any too, and that's the Boston Celtics. They blew the Heat's doors off in game one. I cannot get myself there yet. Like, am I just being a hater?
You're being a hater.
Okay. I'm down to hear it.
Here's the thing. Here's what makes him different now. Jrue Holiday is fucking awesome defensively. Like he raises the floor for every team he's on defensively because he's so good. He's so good at it. Like you can put him on anybody and he will guard them. You know what I mean? Like you. And it just changes your whole thing. So you add that to what you already have. And then you add my man Porzingis. And I get things wrong all the time, Bo, but I wasn't wrong about this one. I told people Porzingis was going to be great for them because the things that he's good at is the things that they need, you know. And I told folks, y'all don't realize how good this guy is defensively. He's better than you think. He's better than you think. Because he knows how to use all 7-3 to change your shot, you know, and watch, look at their numbers at the rim. Look at the defensive numbers at the rim. They're elite because he's there. And that allows everybody to push up. It allows everybody to press up. And so defensively, they are a problem. It's hard to score on them because of their length, because they got the best on-ball defender in the league, in my view, in Holiday still. It's close. But he's still, to me, the best. And if he's not number one, he's number two. Okay, so you got that, and you've got the guy in the back. And then at the other end, I still think they get kind of random offensively sometimes, but it winds up with somebody shooting a wide-open corner three. It does not seem to matter who it is shooting that three that goes in. So whether it's Brown or Tatum or Sam Hauser or Jrue Holiday or Porzingis or – you know, it doesn't matter. They got seven guys or Horford. They got a whole bunch of guys that can make threes. And that's the game now. And so they play five out. And if it bogs down, they get the ball to that 7-3 MFR at the foul line. And he just turns around and shoots it in, knocks it in. So they're really efficient and they're really good defensively. So now I don't know how anybody in the East, any other team in the East beats them four times. I don't know how they do it. I don't see it. Maybe now, I'm wrong, but I don't see.
What if I throw this out there for you? Donovan Mitchell on a heater, and my criticism of the Cavs is they got two tall guys, but they ain't big men. They got tall men, right? Jared Allen and Evan Mobley are tall men, not big men, but Boston isn't really bringing big man out here either. And so they've got guys with the length that can affect some of these things that can deal with Porzingis. That might be the team that has the best chance of beating them.
I just don't know how Cleveland scores enough points to win four games.
Right.
I don't think they can score enough to beat Boston four times. Like you have to, you don't have to score 120 because it's the playoffs, but you do have to score 100, 105, you know, because Boston's going to score. Like, they got Tatum, they got Brown, they got Derek White, they got Porzingis. They're going to score points. Like, you're not going to, they're not going to score 92 a game in the playoffs, right? You got to score to keep up with them. And I don't know how Cleveland scores enough points against a set defense. Now, if Boston kicks the ball around and there's a million turnovers in the game, maybe. Like you mentioned, Don can get on a heater. Don can score 40. He's done it in the playoffs. He can do that, sure. But can he do it four times? I don't think Cleveland can do it four times. And that's all the playoffs are about. Can you beat this team four times that you're playing? That's why I when I look at Denver, I'm like, okay, as good as Boston is, Boston has been the best team in the East by far. It's not close. And you can make an argument they're the best team in the league. Can they beat Denver four times? I don't know.
Well, we about the last thing I'll ask before we get out of here.
That's the finals that I want to see.
Oh, same. Now, by the way, we got Indiana going to play against Milwaukee. Somebody got to win four times, right? Is that how somebody's going to win that series? Because somebody got to win four times?
Right. Got to tell me when Giannis is playing. Tilts the board. When Giannis is back, Milwaukee's fine. But until he's back, they're not fine. They're vulnerable. You know, like, I think Milwaukee's better than Indiana. I certainly think they're better than Indiana with Giannis, like when Giannis is there. But I don't know, like, when he comes back, it's like his Embiid situation. Is he 70%? Is he 80%? Is he 90%? If he's anywhere above 80, I still think Milwaukee will win the series. But if it's below that, then Indiana's got a shot. I mean, you saw it last night. Now, they made some threes that I don't think they're going to make every night, but they made them, you know, so they're capable. But they did a much better job kind of just being disruptive and getting the ball out of Dame's hands and making other dudes beat him. And Milwaukee got really kind of random offensively and didn't run their offense at all and kind of took the bait, I think, because Indiana played chippy, as any team down 1-0 is going to do. They're going to come back and be aggressive and get in your chest and try to get you out your game. And I thought Milwaukee kind of overreacted to that. For a veteran team, they overreacted to that. That should be something that you laugh at when your little brother starts getting physical with you. Like, right. That's funny. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, they don't feel like champions. For a team that's won a championship, they don't feel like Denver's coming out here and they feel like champs.
Yeah. Yeah. That was what surprised me about last night. Like, you let a team that's not as good as you impact the game by getting by chirping. And you reacted to the chirping instead of just playing better. You know what I mean? Like, so stop reacting to the chirping. Just play better. You're better than them. And they didn't do that. Indiana played better than them last night.
My man, David Aldridge. I want the people to check you out at The Athletic, doing all kinds of athletic things. Not an athlete per se, but still doing athletic things. You know what I'm saying? You're nimble. You're quick. You're versatile. Yeah, you know, you make it happen.
Fast.
It is always a pleasure,
I'll be
sir.
I'll in Ashburn on Thursday seeing what these Commanders do. So that will be a fun evening. Because, Bo, you will. It's crazy here. The divide. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Like, about what quarterback they want?
Not to take this kid. I'm like, yo, man, just look at the tape, man. Don't listen to me. Look at the tape.
are you saying that it's possible that in Washington there could be a racially divisive quarterback issue? Don't say that out loud, brother. They'll be mad at you for a decade.
It'll be the first time ever.
No. Don't ever, bro. Boy, I tell you, they'll be on you for years if you bring that up to this day, dog.
By the way, Bo, I meant to send this to you. Did you see I don't know if you saw this, the player survey we did on The Athletic about the NBA player, the anonymous player survey?
Yes.
And one of the questions was, who is your favorite non-NBA athlete? And people gave the usual answers. Some people said Mbappe, and some people said, tennis player, not Federer.
Oh, Nadal Djokovic.
Nadal, and some people said Caitlin Clark, cool, you know, fine, you like her, great. And one dude said Kirk Cousins. It wasn't me that got this, because it was one of our other reporters that said, wait a minute, Kirk Cousins? Huh? And the dude said, look, my man's got $400 million off of one playoff win. Respect.
Look, that reminds me. So I got a cousin who, well, you know what I'm saying? I got a cousin, right? It doesn't tell you everything you need to know. The story will tell the story. And my uncle had passed away, and my uncle was a devotee of Creflo Dollar. Like, Creflo Dollar was his guy. He spent a lot of time down there at that church and the whole nine. And my cousin came to the funeral, and I was surprised to see my cousin at the funeral. And he said, I wasn't going to come except I found out it was Creflo. And this is what he said. You ready? He the only one of them that got a Rolls Royce and a jet. That was the game that he respected. Right? Like, that was he had peep game, and that's a jet. That's what he was about, right? That's somebody, some old Timothy Mozgov, Solomon Hill, one of them summer of 2016 dudes was voting for Kirk Cousins. He got a
hey, man. I thought you would like that. I thought you would like that. I meant to send that to you. Yeah.
you are a gentleman.
Paying attention.
But you know what makes that even funnier is that football players are so resentful of basketball players for all the money they make. That's how much finesse Kirk Cousins got. That even a basketball player is looking at you as a football player like.
Right.
Salute, brother.
I salute you, sir.
My man, I appreciate you. Sean, you got prize picks for the people?
I sure do, Bo. We got another slate of basketball tonight. Jonas Valanciunas, 11.5 boards. I'll take more. Al Horford, 6.5 points. I'll take more there as well. And Jason Tatum, 40.5 points, rebounds, and assists. We're going more there. More as always, Bo.
Consistency, Sean. Your consistency is valued. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this 3 times a week. That's Sean, you handling everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Remember, subscribe, like, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.